Branch Broadcast, a one-hour promise program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 30th, 2014. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. So if you need help with anything after this program, call me. Also, if you need a prayer, just like our other program, you can call me with that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And, I get a lot of calls stacked up sometimes. So in an emergency, you can call me on my cell phone, which is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And I don't usually turn on my cell phone until in the afternoon time, and so that's the best time to call me. And, you know, if it's on a Tuesday or a Friday, you have to remember that I'm also dealing with the Mission Church and the homeless and poor. So, you know, the best times to call me is like late Sunday afternoon, early evening, late Monday Monday afternoon, early evening, and Wednesday early afternoon evening. And the other times you just have to squeeze me in. And also, if you send me an email with your phone number, a lot of times that's easier because I'm always in front of the computer, usually 90% of the time. That pops up, I see your number, your prayer request, and then I pick up the phone and call you back. So remember those things when you do that. But I am here for you. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Now, people might say, well, that's not Mission Watch. Well, there you can find links to all the Mission Watch programs and to all other aspects of our ministry at prophecyhour.com. And so go over there and check it out. And our radio archives, well, AVR does have some. Our AVR, our other archives, which is that podcast thing, it even has an iPad, iPhone app. Which you can find. I'm going to add that to my page also. Well, let's get a prayer going, and then I'll bring on one of my favorite guests, and we'll see how the program goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will or my guest's will. And please, Father, it's all the spiritual things that are out there happening. I just pray that you quench them and give us some peace tonight and have a good program. Amen and amen. Well, we have back on with us the author of Unsung Davids and Islamophobia, which he's a co-author on. He's back on with us to talk about some various interesting findings with Obama's brother. And I'm sure I can come up with some prize items to really get him off subject. So let's welcome back now one of yours and mine favorite radio guests. Welcome Ben Barrett. Anyway, how are you?
Outstanding. How are you doing?
Pretty good, really. You know, it's just, you know, there's, you ever have a day that seems like a conspiracy, a little tiny thing's trying to throw you off, you know?
Yeah, and, usually they happen when I need a nap at about 10 o'clock in the morning. and that happens a lot more lately, it seems like.
Really? Well, a nap at 10 o'clock in the morning, what time do you get up, brother?
Oh, usually about 4 or 4:30.
Oh, no wonder you need a nap at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, I have insomnia, and I'm usually going to bed about 4 or 4:30. But I use the nighttime to do my research and all those kind of things.
Well,
but
that's what I only sleep about. So we're probably passing the baton at about the same time.
Yeah, well, I'll remember that. I'll call you before I go to sleep. you'll be my last goodbye of the night, you know. But really, though, you know, at nighttime, a lot of breaking news happens, you know, and I like to be caught up on everything because we also, you know, I have a blog where I post, well, Prophecy Hour, I post a lot of news articles and things, and which you also post some at yours, but you're a little more picky about what you post at your blog.
Yeah, that's true. We try to do original stuff and most of the time, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't include sources or isn't prompted by one particular article, but we really try to present a different perspective on it and maybe even introduce new stuff into it, just because there are a lot of sites out there that, in fact, we use them. We use them a lot. That just report the news, that report stories. And typically, one of the reasons that these sites may have 25 to 30 news stories a day posted on their site, and, you know, when I say we, I mean it's Shubat.com.
Right.
One of the reasons that we may only have two or three on any given day is because we really want to dig into it and find stuff that nobody else is talking about or looking for. So that's kind of a reason for that.
Yeah, I kind of went over there and was catching up on some of my articles. And, folks, you really should, Shubat.com. That's cool. I noticed several articles. I like the one that Wally wrote about the American church sucks, excuse the language. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty funny, but it was truthful. You know, very good article and some other things. So, folks, you really need to go over there. And you have a radio blog also. What's that?
Yeah, that's benberrick.com. And anymore, because I'm spending so much time writing over at Shubat, my site is primarily just a place to go to pick up the latest podcast of the radio show. And the radio show deals usually with probably the stories that we've come up with that I find to be the most important or the most relevant or just the most interesting. So that's what that site's kind of turned into at this point.
Well, relevant, important, and interesting. And let me add another one, accurate. And that's one of the reasons that I always like to have you on, because your accuracy and the things that you report are usually, and if folks are listening to him for the first time, Ben reports things and puts things together usually months, sometimes even years, way ahead of the curve, as does Wallet, and then, you know, they get noticed. So it really surprises me sometimes about how far in advance you are, but it's always accurate. I can't complain.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and it's very frustrating on this end when we are vindicated time and time again and are overlooked because we're not considered credible yet. You know, we're actually going through that battle today with one of these stories, the second story in the follow-up. We published an article 2 days ago that has to do with Malik Obama, which is Barack Obama's brother. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's taken directly from his website. And this is what's interesting is that, you know, it's amazing what you find when you post stuff and what people respond back to attempt to criticize or smear or diminish your findings. Well, What we posted, and again, this is a photo from Malik Obama's own website. It is a photograph of him in 2010 in Yemen at mm-hmm. an orphan conference. If you had any doubt that the left and the Islamists like to use language that is directly opposed to what they actually do, this is it. This was an orphan conference that right. they were doing, and the photo shows Malik Obama with a scarf on that is a Hamas scarf. And when I say Hamas scarf, it's got a photograph on it of the area that is Israel today, and it says Palestine from the river to the sea, and Israel's completely off the map on the scarf that Malik Obama is wearing. And it says on the other side in Arabic, and this is all in Arabic, it says, onward we march forward to Jerusalem. We are coming. Basically that they want to reclaim or claim Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine and completely eradicate Israel. I mean, this is a, you know, so what we've got, and the complaints are just mind-blowing. You know, like one of the critics is, that's not a Hamas scarf, that's a Palestinian scarf. Well, excuse me, what is at the heart? That's like saying there's no difference. That's like saying there's a difference between Al-Qaeda and Ansar al-Sharia. No, there isn't. I mean, they were both at Benghazi, and they were both killing our guys. You know, I mean, it's crazy. So you got these people saying, and even if it was Palestinian scarf, we have photos of the prime minister of Hamas and a top leader of Hamas wearing the same scarves. Okay, well, why are Hamas leaders wearing Palestinian scarves? Shouldn't they be reprimanded for doing such a thing? Because the thing that's on the scarves says the same thing, and it's a very core principle of Hamas. Eradicate Israel and claim Jerusalem as your capital. So, you know, that's just, these people might as well just buy themselves a crack pipe as far as I'm concerned. And the second thing is,
Let me get my composure. Okay, that's completely it's completely insane. I said it. Wow. Okay.
The other thing is they say this is the good one, Pastor Dan. The other thing, the complaint that we got was that was photoshopped. Wait a minute. If it's photoshopped and it came from Malik Obama's website, that means he wasn't wearing a Palestinian or a Hamas scarf, and he decided to Photoshop one onto him, his own body, and put it on his own website, which means he likes Hamas better than he did had he not put it up there.
Oh, my. That's just wonderful. You know, when the devil attacks like that, it just proves that you're doing right. But the left, but that just shows you exactly, the left is so insane. It's just pitiful, and it's too bad that most of the news media is really leftist, you know?
Yeah, well, what is encouraging is that and I say these are two stories. The first story, which we broke 2 days ago, has done very well, and it's very photographic, photo intensive, which, you know, that's those tend to do well generally. You know, when you have a photograph of somebody in a compromising position displaying something they don't want displayed, it's much easier to get traction with that, especially if it's legitimate. But you know, we had that story, and that got picked up by The Blaze. It got picked up by Pajamas Media, and Drudge actually picked up the Pajamas Media story and linked to it yesterday. It got picked up by Gateway Pundit, by WorldNet Daily, and it also got picked up by the Washington Times and the UK Daily Mail yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So those are encouraging signs. But the weird thing is that this morning we published, Waleed did some incredible research. We published an article that he did about Malik Obama funds Hamas. Let me say that again. Malik Obama funds Hamas. Okay, so it's not just a matter of the president's brother working for the Islamic Dawah organization, which is an arm of the Sudanese government led by Omar al-Bashir. You know, the guy that George Clooney is working so hard to bring to justice. While sucking up to Barack Obama, you know. So we've got this deal with the Islamic Dawah organization. Is Malik Obama's boss is a guy named Suard al-Dahab, who we found video of him speaking in Gaza, essentially saying the exact same things that were on Malik Obama's scarf. He was speaking in Gaza last May with the Prime Minister of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, and the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, Yusuf al-Qaradawi. So he was in Gaza saying and echoing the same things that Malik Obama had said or had on his scarf.
Right.
So Malik Obama, what has been discovered is that as an executive secretary for the IDO, the IDO works with and funds Hamas through a bank that was founded by none other than Osama bin Laden in Sudan. Osama bin Laden gathered up 50 million or billion, I don't remember the number, but millions of dollars from his inheritance or from his wealthy family and invested and began this bank that has managed to remain in existence all these years and is actually a place where funds are sent out and distributed courtesy of the IDO, Malik Obama's organization. So,
really?
You know, and there's folks out there, and you know, here's another critique, I shall say, from the other side. They would say, well, you know, the sins of Malik Obama have nothing to do with Barack. These are two different people, blah, blah, blah. You know, some people just have foreheads that are thicker than others, because what this shows is that, do you remember the Huma Abedin scandal?
How can I forget?
2011, and a year later it went mainstream thanks to Michelle Bachmann and some other congressmen, and it became a big controversy. But one of the things that came out of that controversy was it doesn't matter if Huma Abedin is Muslim Brotherhood or not, she was supposed to have filled out a Form 86 in which she should have detailed all of her familial connections for the sole purpose, well, not sole purpose, but one of the main purposes was to show if there were any relationships that she had that could compromise her loyalty to the U.S. and to her oath. And she did, and we tried to get the Form 86 released to no avail. Well, the same thing applies here. Barack Obama should have fully disclosed his brother Malik's involvement with the IDO, which has existed for years. There's no way, and I'll say this again, if I could use the bold font and the enlarged characters, I would, and double underscore when I say this, I will. There is no way that Barack Obama did not know what his brother does. There is no way. There's just it's not even plausible deniability. It defies reason, and it defies. Let's see his Form 86. We won't see one because he didn't put there wasn't one. I would guess there wasn't one, and if there was, I'm sure he would deny it. I mean, we have very recent history, in which Barack Obama, if you remember, not too long ago, his uncle Omar Onyango, at his DUI sentencing and immigration hearing, it was revealed, and I presume he was under oath when he said this, but it was revealed that he said that Barack Obama stayed with him when he was attending Harvard. He stayed with him for a few weeks, and the Obama administration, J. Carney Barker, had to come out and say, yeah, that is true, even though we said that he never met his uncle. Okay, there's strike one. Strike two, Mark Nasanjo Obama. If you remember, not long after Uncle Omar threw Barack under the bus, Mark Nasanjo Obama, who lives in China, he was, quote, floored during a radio interview when he was asked why the president would say he only met him once and it was recently. He said he was floored. We met several times, he said. Well, the one time that Barack Obama allegedly met him, we can deduce that he was referring to his late 2009 trip to China, in which photos of Mark Nasanjo Obama and his wife with Barack Obama, and it was a publicized trip. So I guess we could say that Barack was referring to that one. But how do you square that with Mark Nasanjo Obama being at the president's inauguration almost a year earlier, halfway around the world? So you've got two strikes against him when he's talking about his family.
Let me butt in here for a minute. I got one. And I can help you out here. He said he had contact with him while he was at Harvard, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have a solution for that. Well, come on. Those were the years that Barack Obama, wasn't that when he was doing all that pot smoking, you know, and running around with the guy in the van, the gay guy that got his head bashed in with a hammer, you know? I mean, maybe he forgot because he was being a pothead, you know?
Well, okay? I would love that excuse. I mean, that's one I could maybe buy.
Better than a lie.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he should say.
Well, let me ask you this. If, knowing what we know now, if that had been widely publicized about, you know, what he did at Harvard at the time that when he was at Harvard and who he ran around with, and publicized about his mother, or not his mother, but Moloch, and some of these other things we found out, if you think the American people knew that, do you think he would have got elected?
I don't think so. I don't think so, which is one of the reasons why I think of all of the, you know, we talk about corrupt and wicked politicians all the time. I think of all of the entities and individuals that exist out there, the most culpable is the media. They were entrusted by the founding fathers with a freedom like no one else. They had the freedom to do practically anything when it came to journalism, and they threw that away. Somewhere along the line, they threw that away. And the reason, and I think you and I have talked about this before, the reason that I believe that the Founding Fathers gave them such unlimited freedoms was because they believed, it's hard to know this for sure, but I believe that they believed that media would never give up such freedom, that media would inherently want to always hold the powers that be accountable. And something happened. I would love to know when that happened. I would love to know who is responsible and what were the things at play. But somewhere along the line, and it is more than evidently apparent, that did happen. And, you know, maybe one of the best examples of that is before the 2008 election when the Los Angeles...
We better break in right here. We're going to go to break in about 30 seconds. So why don't you give the website real quick, and I've got some thoughts on that, but give your website and everything, and we'll come back and talk in about 3 minutes.
Sure. If you want to check out the podcast of the show, you can go to benbarrack.com. That's BENBARRACK.com. Or you can go to soundcloud.com and just type in the same name, and you can download the podcast. If you want to check out stuff that that I write and that Waleed writes and his son Ted and even Keith Davis writes, you can go to Shoebat, Shoebat.com. That's where we break a lot of the stuff. So, in fact, one just broke today, and it's still up at the top of the page. So check that one
okay,
out.
Okay, well, we'll be back in 3 minutes, folks, with more from Ben, and we'll see where we go with it.
Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click the satellite system.
Thank you.
studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And you know what? So many times I sit here and repeated this over and over, and I think, wow, I sound like a commercial. I don't want to sound like a commercial, you know. We do really need your help. I know times are tough and things out there, and so we just want you to pray about it. You know, pray about what we do, and we're not asking you to support a lifestyle. Nobody gets paid a wage over there, but we need help because we don't sell anything, and so we need it to keep the mission church open, to help the people that the Father sends us. So please pray about it. And let me throw another one in here is that while, you know, you can click on, you know, this program and hear it on your smartphone, or you can hear it on the internet, and you pay an internet bill or you pay for your smartphone. But in order for me to get that up there, I have to pay radio airtime. And so without support for airtime, then it's hard to stay on the air. So pray about, if you're blessed by this program, pray about supporting radio airtime. And that goes for anybody that you have that you do listen to. You should pray about that. Anyway, well, why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that really is the first answer. And they are treated as family. I mean, we don't stand over these people like, you know, they go into other places, they got to be dead quiet. They walk in, they, you know, they treat them like clients. They treat them like underdogs. Even though they're trying to help them, they're still treating them differently than they would treat anybody else. We treat everybody the same. If I'm in a conversation with somebody that, okay, is homeless, and somebody that comes in with a lot of money for a donation, wow, that happens once in a while, right? Anyway, I don't break off the conversation with one to talk to the other. I do go and talk to the other. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't put the others importance over the other person, because the Bible says we're not supposed to be a respecter of person. But anyway, folks, so pray about it. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Ben Barrick. Say, hey, Ben, you still there?
I am right here.
I'm right here, boy. He's just lurking, folks. He's just waiting to get back on here. Anyway, we were talking about many things when we left. One of those was the media. Let me make a small comment before I let you start talking. You know, I think what happened with the media is that a lot of these people that are in the media, they go to school for journalism. Most of the schools for journalism are run by leftist people. And those leftist professors started moving in the 60s and so. And so now you have the people that they're being taught by, you know, are leftists. So how are they going to come out? They're going to come out the same way. Also, I agree with you about the founding fathers. I think that the media is supposed to be like we the people, you know. So that's how we the people gets represented. If the government messes up, then they sound off, and that allows we the people to really know what's going on. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the founders granted power. When I say power, they granted freedom to a great extent. They granted power to the press. And just logically thinking, when you grant somebody power, what on earth would make you think they would want to give it up? It you know, you just look at anybody who's got power. They don't want to give that up. So, you know, it makes sense that you would assume, or presuppose rather, or base a plan for a constitution on a simple premise that says we're going to give these people power. As such, we're going to give them freedom to do their job, because who would give up their power? Well, the media has given up its power. They did this, the founders did the same thing with Congress. They gave them power. Now Congress has certainly got power. That's why these guys stay in office. But the powers that they and won't leave is other than Harry Waxman, otherwise known as Pig Virus, the Democrat in California. He's leaving. But Congress has certain powers. It was given powers, and one of those powers was to hold the executive branch in check. This president is out of control. Went essentially in front of the American people and Congress and told them that if they won't do what he wants, he's going to go around them, and he got applause. He got a standing ovation for it. This is upside down. It's an upside down world, and these entities that were given power are ceding part of that power while claiming other parts, other powers that they have no right to. So you know, it's going to come down to the people, as it always seems to eventually. But you know,
let me say something here on that. You know, I got started getting into the Bible prophecy world back in the 90s, and you know, the people back then, and that was around the Clinton era and everything. And if Bill Clinton, let me tell you, had pulled some of this stuff with the pen and all that, you know, he would have been ran out of office. I mean, they wouldn't have waited. The people's voice was different. It seems like everything changed after, well, what, not about 9/11. It just started getting this way. And if I was going to give my biblical answer, I'd say, well, it's under them that say when bad is good and good is bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that says it's part of the time of the end. But, you know, point being is it is completely upside down. And for them to stand up and cheer, they should be standing up and booing. It's just obscene.
You want to talk about reaching across the aisle for compromise? I mean, how about uniting together against an out-of-control president? But yet it's the side that wants to check the executive branch that is being called the obstructionists and the people who don't want to compromise. Well, wait a minute. You're the left. The Democrats are compromising with the executive branch to cede their own power. Yet it's the Republicans, and I blame a lot of this on them for not having the backbone to stand up to this. It's the Republicans who are identified as those I'm willing to compromise. The problem with them is they don't have anybody that's willing to stand up and enunciate that. And that's a huge part of this deal. So
well, I think we a couple of people of them do speak out, like Ted Cruz, but, you know. But, yeah, they should stand up as a whole. They could do a lot more. But, see, it goes back down to that other thing, you know, Ben. They're worried about the next election, and by all rights, they should be worried about this next election, because if we don't take back the Senate in this next election, yeah, forget about it, you know. Just forget about it all. America is completely gone.
Well, and on top of that, this president has been, you know, by all accounts, reeling. 2013 was a terrible year. 2014 is an election year. You would think that the Republicans would be going on offense, exposing scandals, and not giving the president what he wants. But they are going down the road of immigration and invasion. You know, invasion reform is what I think that they're doing. And that is perplexing, because that tells me that there is something behind the veneer that we need to see, something very diabolical and dastardly. The fact that the Republican Party in Congress is deciding to grant this president's wish on an agenda item, probably his most desired agenda item, which is immigration at this point, because it would help.
Well, let me go out on a limb, and I don't know if this could be it, but, you know, Congress started looking a little different, I thought, and a little funny after they discovered that the NSA, you know, may have the goods on them. Do you think possibly that some of our leaders in Congress could be being bribed or threatened to do?
I think that's definitely a possibility. I think the truth of that needs to come out, if that's indeed the case. But let's say this, and I think you and I have discussed this too. We have precedent, and that precedent is David Petraeus. David Petraeus, you know, and it was his fault. He obviously, you know, had an affair with his biographer, Paula Broadwell, and all that. But the thing that situation was that the day after the election, he was called in and forced to resign. And we subsequently learned that Eric Holder and the Justice Department knew about this scandal for months prior to him being forced out, which means that he knew, he or had great suspicion or had reason to believe that he was compromised and that they knew about it, which would have affected his decision making. So if you just extrapolate that. You know, whenever you have a fire, you know, obviously there's smoke, but whenever you have, this is the question needs to be answered is, what happened to David Petraeus, is this an isolated incident, or is this an indication of a pattern? Because if it's an indication of a pattern, then that would explain the behavior of many of the people in Congress. It wasn't long after the NSA scandal broke, I'll never forget it, Senator Mark Kirk out of Illinois was asking Eric Holder if congressmen and aides and workers and all that were having their phones tapped or the NSA had access to their
safe,
and Eric Holder did not answer that, and Mark Kirk was really taken aback by that. So I think that the possibility exists. And I think it's quite...
Well, it's something else people should explore, and somebody said it once when they were talking about it, but let's go with this. There's a strong possibility that we have Obamacare because of Roberts being bribed.
That's another example, because he certainly twisted himself into pretzels to come up with that decision. I mean, it was ridiculous. He's going to go down in history. And that's the thing, Pastor Dan, is that these guys... And this is what's so hard, and this is one of the things in his earthly form that Jesus, the Yeshua, he had over everybody else, is that he wasn't going to sell out. He wasn't going to cower to fear. You know, he wasn't going to you know, say what he needed to say or do what he needed to do to not get crucified. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, long term, let's just hypothetically say, and I'm not making this charge, but let's just say that what you are talking about, that John Roberts was blackmailed in some form or fashion. At some point, if that's the case, he has to have, you know, laying down in bed at night, had to be thinking to himself, okay, do I do the right thing and suffer a lot of short-term pain in this life, or do I do the right thing and have a legacy that I can be proud of, knowing that the opposite would be true, that if he did the wrong thing, which he obviously did the wrong thing, I'm not saying why, but he obviously did the wrong thing, this is forever tarnished his legacy. He will forever be disgraced as the Supreme Court justice who obviously made the wrong decision.
Sure. Sure, and it's clear to see. It's so clear. I mean, you know, but look at it. You do have people now, you know, that are mad about Obamacare, you know, that are on the left side that are starting to do it. Like one I saw on TV, I never could forget, will forget it. It was this woman, and she was out of California, and she was talking about how she helped the campaign, and she worked for it and everything, and then she couldn't believe that she got a cancellation notice on her insurance. It shouldn't have happened to her. She helped his campaign, and how shocked she was. Well, I got news, there's a lot more that's going to happen with it than that, but you know, just desserts.
Well, and you know, I every time I hear, you know, well, it's easy, you're not in that position, you know, or that kind of thing about you know when we the people are out here levying accusations or charges or want to hold the congressmen accountable, the politicians accountable, and say they should do this or they should do that and they're not doing it. Well, and then we get, well, but you're not there, you don't understand. Well, isn't that why they chose to take that position? Isn't that why they were, you know, from whom more is given, more is expected. So, you know, they're the ones who made the decision to run for office. It's not all about perks. It's not all about power and having all of these luxuries and these you know, being this, having all this prestige. No. That's not what it's about. What it's about is you doing those hard decisions. And I'll take it back to if you're okay with it, I'd like to give out the phone number to a guy who's supposed to be answering questions about the Malik Obama deal for Congressman Mike Kelly.
Sure. Give it out. Go right ahead. Give it out a couple times.
Real quick, Congressman Mike Kelly sits on the House Ways and Means Committee, and he admitted back in August on a radio town hall when I asked him, I said, are you aware of the Malik Obama IRS Lois Lerner scandal? His response was, yes, I do. I am aware of it. I do know about it, is what he said. He then proceeded to say that the charges against Malik Obama, Lois Lerner, and the IRS were, quote, spot on. Subsequent to that, his office has clammed up. We are talking about, Pastor Dan, we are talking about a serious issue of national security. And we are talking about a congressman, a U.S. congressman named Mike Kelly, who refuses to come out publicly. Is this easy? Is this a matter of you or I are not in that position? We don't understand. We're sorry, sir. That's why you're there. That's why you took the job. Okay? So we have, I have attempted to place calls to his office. We have the phone call that he did on that radio town hall. We have it recorded. It is available. And the longer this goes on, the longer this goes with being exposed, the more culpable he potentially will be for his inaction. And I want to remind people one more thing before I give out this phone number. I remind people one more thing. There was a guy named Jim Jones who in the 1970s took his cult down to Jonestown, and they were it resulted in the deaths of almost 1,000 of his followers. I would remind people that there were politicians. Jim Jones rose through the ranks of California politics and ingratiated himself with the governor, Jerry Brown, who is now governor again. If you don't need, if you need evidence for California being completely cracked out, you just look at the governor of that state today. After he knew Jim Jones was a bad guy, the news reports were all available, and he did nothing. You had the mayor of San Francisco, who was complicit in Jim Jones' rise to power over there. You had all kind, Ralph Nader's another one. Willie Brown's another one. You had all kinds of politicians there that, that did nothing. Not only did nothing, but they got in bed with him, and look what happened. Well, today we have a situation, and I'm not accusing anybody of you know, being complicit with Malik Obama's deal with the IRS and Hamas and the Sudan and a state sponsor of terrorism and a guy wanted by the International Criminal Court for crimes against humanity. I'm not accusing them of being involved in that, but what I am saying is that they are engaged in inaction. They are choosing not to address this scandal. And we have tried to reach out to Mike Kelly's office, and they have clammed up. We got one of the legislative correspondents there said no comment. We were redirected to a guy named Tom Qualtaire, and his name is Qualtere, and his number is 202-740-2158. That's 202-740-2158. And I would encourage everybody there that's listening to call his office and demand and be professional, be courteous, but be firm and demand to know why Congressman Mike Kelly, who sits on a committee who is investigating the IRS scandal, and I know firsthand that he has seen all of this evidence, why he has chosen to remain silent about this. This is a matter of national security, and it involves a man that just so happens to be the brother of the United, the President of the United States. It is a matter of potentially the IRS tax exempt director, Lois Lerner, being an accessory to terror funding while granting illegal tax exempt 501c3 status to a foundation whose founder just so happens to be that same man, the brother of the President of the United States. Where is Mike Kelly? Where are the rest of these congressmen? You know, I earlier this week, I chose about 16 or 17 congressmen and Senator Ted Cruz, who I thought might have the, you know, the best possibility that these guys might have the gumption to attack this. And I faxed a one-page document outlining all this to each of their D.C. offices as well as all of their district offices. Asking for them to get on this. And so far, I don't see anybody doing it. But I did see, you know, you talk Ted Cruz, and, you know, I like a lot of the things he says and does, but I know that his people know about this. I was told by one of his folks that it has been forwarded to their foreign policy people, and that is a quote, foreign policy people. Earlier this week, at about the same time I was sending him this stuff, I got in my inbox, you know, just a mass distribution press release from Ted Cruz's office on some statement about Ukraine. Now, wait a minute. You're going to issue a press release on this, what's going on in Ukraine when we have a constitutional crisis, a national security issue on our hands involving the president, his brother, and the IRS? Excuse me, sir. And you know this?
Right. Hello? Well, you know, let me have a couple of quick thoughts real quick before we get up to the end of the program. One is what I'm praying is that maybe some of these Republicans, and then most of them, are trying to pick and choose their battles so they can win the Senate in 14. You know what I'm saying? And if they do, maybe they're going to store up this stuff and just come at them full guns after they have the power to really do something. And so, you know, that's all we can pray for. Go ahead.
Because that's been their modus operandi for a lot of years. That's what we always hear. That's the Karl Rove strategy. That's the
well,
keep waiting until it's our chance to strike. But Look at 2004 when George Bush won re-election and he won the Senate and he won the House. He became more liberal after the
Yeah, he did.
So, you know, that is something that requires accountability. I agree with you, and I think that if that was their intent, I would be all on board. But it's constant. It's constant. Pledging to do X when Y happens. Wait. Well, when Y happens, then they don't do X. Something else has come up where they go, oh, no, wait. And I always hear this. I love this argument from consultants. We got to do what's pragmatic. We like what you have to say, but we got to do what's pragmatic. Well, I would say, well, excuse me. And I heard that. That is a direct quote from somebody in D.C. that I know that that's what they think. Did the Democrats, were they pragmatic in pushing Obamacare through? Is this administration pragmatic when it pushes through what it wants? The answer is obviously no. The solution is obviously to fight fire with fire, and to do the right thing and not be overly. I mean, I think lots of times, Pastor, I think they mask cowardice by rationalizing it with something like pragmatism.
Yeah. Yeah, that we need people to stand up that really have some courage. Well, for once, I don't have to cut you off to tell you that we're at the end of the program. We could talk for hours, really. You're a very interesting guy, and your information is good. So let's go with this. Tell the folks your contact stuff, and then we'll do it again in a couple weeks.
All right, just go to Shoebot, S-H-O-E, as in the what you wear on your foot. And BAT, as in the flying creature that is blind. lots of times, there's a lot of them in Washington, D.C., but it's shoebot.com, and you can go to soundcloud.com and just type in my name, Ben Barrick, and you can get the podcasts for all of the radio shows.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you being on, and I really enjoy having a conversation with you, so we'll do it again. Be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
You too. It's fun. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, wow. What is the solution? We can only pray that Congress, if we take back the Senate, and then, but you know what? I think that there's, you know, Ben barely just touched on it. He said, well, I wonder what's going on there. You know, lift the veil. What is in control? Think about it with all the NSA things and all of the just everything. You know that only, let's go with this, you know, only 85 people in the world that own half of the wealth. Are those Verbergers and all those other Illuminati people that we've been hearing about, are they really, is this really actually what it's came down to? They really are in charge? And if so, let's go with this. Prophecy Hour will be on a little bit in an hour. And, you know, that program hits it where it's at. We are in the time of the end. I don't think America pulls itself out of the mud because I don't think America is being controlled by Americans, simply put. I really don't think so. The church needs to stand up. If you want to do something, let the church stand up and speak their voice. And their voice would be a powerful one. But, you know, Christians, their pastors are teaching them to stay out of it, be quiet. And, well, pastors, you need to tell them to you know, Paul Revere even preached. Okay, well. Pray about supporting the mission, church. I got to get out of here. You must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. Pray for the mission, church. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that Father, the Father blesses you and keeps you. And his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Like no one or nothing else can. We'll tell an hour from now. This is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel.